haven't always been a bat lover, but the more I know, the more I have grown to appreciate the little mosquito eaters. So I was saddened to hear the news last week that the deadly bat disease known as white nose syndrome was discovered in bats in a cave in southwestern Wisconsin and in a UP county that borders Wisconsin. We'll talk with a bat expert about why the bat is worth protecting and how we might help in doing that. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, April 17th. And we will welcome your bat-related questions and bat stories for our guest expert at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Are you a bat lover? Have you ever built a bat house? Do you have bats in your house? Do you watch bats at night? We are going to talk all about bats with Ken Bowman. He is co-founder of Bat Conservation of Wisconsin, which is a group that creates educational programs and provides rehabilitation to Wisconsin bat populations. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So we aren't going to focus the entire hour on this white nose syndrome, but how bad is this news from the DNR that we heard last week?
Well, potentially it could be very bad in states that the white nose has been in, especially out east. Anywhere from 75 to 100% of the bats in certain caves have been killed by this fungus. And since bats tend to only have one pup or one baby a year, it could take a long time, if ever, for those populations to rebound to their current levels that they were before the white nose hit.
Yeah. Is this news that the white nose syndrome was discovered in bats in Grant County in southwestern Wisconsin? DNR is saying they believe it's an isolated incident. At least that's the only place they've found it so far. Is this a death sentence for the Wisconsin bat population?
Well, not necessarily. We don't have the populations like some of the states out east. It's a matter of how fast it spreads and where it spreads. It's really spread, you know, from bat to bat, and they go from hibernation to where they live in the summertime, and then they come back, and the bats spread it themselves. So it'll take a long time for it to kill a lot of Wisconsin bats, but there are a couple hibernaculums where bats overwinter that if it hits those two places, it could devastate, hit you know, 500,000 bats almost.
Yeah. I didn't know this, though, that Wisconsin has one of the largest populations of hibernating bats in the Midwest.
Yes, yeah, over by the Horicon Marsh area, there's an old abandoned iron ore mine that has about 150 to 175,000 little browns that hibernate there.
Oh.
And they fly anywhere from 200 to 300 miles from around the Midwest to go there. And there's another one up in northwest Wisconsin that I think it has about 100 to 125,000 bats.
Yeah, that's, you know, and that this disease, what the way I understand it, and I know you're not a white nose syndrome expert, but it disrupts their hibernation. They can start flying around. They'll get dehydrated and ends up killing them.
Right. It's their immune system when they hibernate basically is almost not functioning, and so that's why this fungus they think is able to irritate the bats in the wintertime, and it irritates them enough that they wake up. And they use up their body fat that they've stored, and they wake up and they get hungry, and they go outside in the middle of the winter, and there's no food, of course, since they eat insects. And they end up starving to death.
Oh, that's too bad. But what role do bats play in our ecosystem? Are they just eat a whole lot of mosquitoes?
Well, in the United States, we have 47 species. 44 of them eat some kind of insect, and 3 of them are pollinators in the desert southwest. The 7 species we have in Wisconsin all eat some kind of flying insects. The smaller bats tend to eat the mosquitoes, the gnats, the small flies, and the larger bats tend to eat the the beetles and the moths. The corn borer moth is one that the big brown bat eats that devastates farm crops, corn, and some of those products. So they're very beneficial to us.
Yeah, and indeed, agriculture could really be hurt if the bat population is hurt.
Yes, because they eat so many insects that affect the crops. If they're not around to eat them, then the farmers will have to use more pesticides and insecticides, which means for people, then we're more exposed to those agents too.
And will we notice mosquito populations getting worse if the bat goes away?
Yes, because out east where it has devastated, you know, all these bats, people have noticed a large increase in mosquitoes. And, of course, they're a pest to us because they bite us, but they also carry West Niles, and that's an issue too.
Yeah. So let's we thought that we would talk about Wisconsin's bats during this hour. You say there are seven species. What are they?
Right. Four of them are bats that hibernate in the state, the big brown, the little brown, eastern pipistrel, and the northern long-eared. And then we have three that migrate south for the winter. One is the silver-haired bat, the red bat, and the hoary bat.
Ooh. And is it the four hibernating species that are the ones that are in danger?
Yes. Yeah, it's the bats that tend to live in caves and mines in the wintertime. The three bats that fly south for the winter don't live in groups, so they don't have the chance of spreading the white nose to each other.
Yeah. It seems to me that I think I'm seeing the little and the big brown bat the most.
Yes, those are the two most popular bats in the United States.
And they hang out in caves only, or are they in miatic too?
Well, it's a very small percentage. I would say 1-2% at the most would stay in people's attics in the wintertime, but a few do for whatever reason.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's comfy.
Well, it is. The problem with the attics is they don't stay at constant temperature throughout the winter, and that's why people tend to find them in their, you know, in the wintertime, moving around because the temperature changes. So, I mean, they really don't belong in our attics.
Right. Well, so is there anything that I can do, that the general public can do, to help protect bats, especially with this news that white nose syndrome has been discovered?
Well, the biggest thing is you don't kill them, no matter where they're at. You don't go into caves, mines in the summertime and disrupt their habitat. And that's the biggest thing. And if you have bats in your house in the attic, you want to get a professional bat excluder, a person that will come out and put in devices in your house to let the bats out, but won't let them back in. That way the bats are protected from being killed.
What about putting up a bat box? Is that a good idea?
Bat boxes are great. They're not the answer, but they sure help. Most of our old barns and old buildings that bats have gotten used to for the last 100 years, they're starting to decay and fall down, and people are take them down, and they put up a metal building, which isn't conducive for bats to live in.
But the bat box, I've seen these. You can either build them or you can buy them, and it's just it's a place where it doesn't seem very big. It's just for a couple or what?
Well, no, you can build them as large as you want them. Mm-hmm. You can build a small one that's 1 foot by 2 feet, and it can hold 50 to 75 little browns.
Wow.
But the idea with the bat box, it's not like a birdhouse. I mean, a birdhouse, generally, you put a birdhouse up and you'll get some kind of bird in it. A bat house has to be very specifically made, because the bats are very picky to where they live. And so even some of the ones you can buy commercially aren't very good bat houses.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about bat houses and things that we can do to help protect Wisconsin bats and appreciate Wisconsin bats, and welcome your questions about all things bat-related. for our guest, Ken Bowman, who is co-founder of Bat Conservation of Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So how worried are you about this white nose syndrome or other threats to bats, which we will talk about? And are you afraid of bats, or have you grown to appreciate them like I have? I don't want them in my house necessarily, but I'm no longer afraid of them. What about you? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking with a Batman about Wisconsin bats this hour, and we're welcoming your questions and stories about bats, the threats facing bats, and the things we can do to help protect bats. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's 20 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, April 17th. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with our guest, Ken Bowman, who is the co-founder of Bat Conservation of Wisconsin. And Ken, I should have asked you off the top, but what exactly is it that what does your group do?
Well, we provide educational programs to schools and civic groups. My wife and I both work full-time, so we have a little bit limited time of doing daytime programs. But we do a lot of state parks, a lot of libraries, a lot of civic groups. And then after that, we rescue and rehab bats. And we're licensed with the DNR. And we also help people put up bat houses, where to put them, and also for public areas, we will provide, poles and bat houses to put up in state parks and city parks and county parks.
Oh, very, very good. So when you say you rescue and rehab bats, what are the circumstances?
Well, usually most of the time it's in the wintertime where you find a bat in your house and you can't let it outside because it's cold and there's no insects. So we keep them at our house in small cages, and we feed them all winter. And in the springtime, hopefully in the next 2 weeks, the weather's nice, the insects are out, and we will let them go.
Oh, how many do you have right now?
Well, we probably have about 115.
Wow.
The only issue now is because of the white nose syndrome, we have been told with the Wisconsin DNR that we are not able to release them until they figure out what they want to do.
Oh, because they want to make sure you don't release one that has white nose?
Right. I mean, because we get bats from different areas, so maybe we got a bat from Grant County or in that area that may have white nose, but we can't see it, and we put it with bats that maybe came from Beaver Dam. Well, when we release the bats tend to go back to where they came from, so if white nose spread from one bat to the other, then now we're assisting the spreading of this disease around
the state. Well, yeah, that's a little bit troubling, but you can probably, this is something that you would know, I would think, because they actually get a white nose.
Well, that's what we hope too. I mean, but I'm not sure what the DNR is going to do.
Yeah, but typically you would release these bats that had been rehabbed and rescued in the spring when they can fend for themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a colony in our backyard and our bat house, and as soon as they come back, we know it's time that we can release the rescued ones.
You have a lot of bats.
Yes.
We have a Charles who emails, how can urban and property owners provide a better habitat for bats and encourage them to stay? What are the do's and don'ts?
Well, the biggest thing is provide housing, and that's what a good bat house will do. You need a house that kind of replicates what an attic would be, so it has to be hot, which means it needs to be in the sunshine. It's a minimum of 10 feet up, and also the bat house has to be sealed so the air inside of it doesn't escape, because we're trying to make this house as hot as possible. And so when you buy commercially made houses, you have to make sure that they're sealed and painted a dark color to absorb as much heat as possible.
Oh, so the bats like it hot.
That's why they live in your attics. And if you've ever been in an attic, even if it was 55 degrees out and it's sunny and you go up into an attic, it's going to be pretty close to 80 to 90 degrees. And because bat pups are born hairless, that's why bats like hot attics.
Oh, but caves aren't so hot.
Well, up here, bats only use caves in the wintertime. They don't use them in the summer.
I see. Okay, yeah. So what are they? They're just hanging out in trees or whatever in the summer?
No, the four bats that hibernate here in the state will live in buildings or old trees underneath, you know, the bark or some of the older trees have hollows in them.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them use buildings nowadays because all the trees that they used to use, we've cut them down because they're old.
Right. Charles goes on to say, are municipalities doing anything to help bats?
Not that I'm aware of. There are some places around the state that some of the parks departments in the cities and towns have put up bat houses. And the Arboretum here in Madison, they have a couple bat houses up. I think municipalities could do more. There's always the problem that you put up a bat house in a public area and you get bats. There's a very, very, very small chance that maybe one of the bats may get rabies. And so there's a health issue mm-hmm. with that, and many cities don't want to face that.
Yeah, what is so they don't want to have the liability.
Correct.
If something would happen. When you say there's a small possibility that a bat will get rabies, is that right? It's not if you see a bat, it's the chances are it does not have rabies.
Correct. Yeah, less than 1% of bats, 0.5% of bats in the wild have rabies, and they die of it just like we do. So they're not carriers of it, but there's rabies is in the population and seems to be maintained. You know, raccoons and skunks have a higher incidence of rabies, but they tend not to live in our homes. So,
and that's one of the maybe the misconceptions or myths about bats, and that you say bats, and some people think rabies.
Right. I mean, we've had three people in the state of Wisconsin die of rabies since 1951.
Mm-hmm.
So you think of riding bicycles, you think of all the other possibilities that people die from, and it's a very, very small chance. You just have to know that you don't pick up wild animals, and bats don't attack people. Usually people pick them up, and that's when they get bit.
Let's go to Mary in Eau Claire. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Hi, do you have a story about bats?
When we were children, we used to play under the street lamp, and the boys would get a ring of their dad's keys, and we would tie a white handkerchief on that, and then throw the keys up in the air, and the bats would come, and were attracted to the white because they thought it was a big bug, and we'd play until our mothers would come screaming out and say, you know, they'll get in your hair and all that crap.
Mary, so let me understand this. You throw the handkerchief that has the ring on it up mm-hmm. in the air, and then the bats would, like, go diving for it, and that was your fun to see
yes.
that. Yeah.
Well, it was great fun.
Well, a couple of things to talk about here. Were the bats attracted to that white handkerchief because they thought it was a big bug, or what was going on there, do you think, Ken?
Well, no, they use their echolocation. And I used to, when I was a kid, I used to throw a baseball up, and they would come close to it, and then when they got fairly close to it, they realized it wasn't a bug, and they'd veer off. And that happens.
What the heck is that, they probably say.
Yeah, so it was fun.
That's another, how do bats hunt exactly? You hear blind as a bat. You know about this radar. What's going on?
Well, they use sound waves, which we call echolocation, and they shoot it out, and it hits an object and bounces back, and it makes a mental picture in their brain through their ears of what that object is. Now the sound waves don't go, you know, 100 feet or anything, so they have to be fairly close to it, but they can tell a human hair with the echolocation. I'm sure the Navy and the military would wish they had sonar that could be that precise.
Yeah, that's great. But are they blind?
They are not blind. Mm-hmm. All bats can see. Most bats can see almost as well as humans. They don't see in light as well as we do, but in low light, like cats, they see better than we do.
Yeah, but this sonar that they have helps out, especially if they're looking for a mosquito at night, I would think.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have no trouble catching, and little brown bats can catch anywhere from 600 to 1,000 mosquito-sized insects in 1 hour.
That's great. And then we just have a minute before news, but Mary brought up that that old wives' tale that the bat will get in your hair. You know, is that do bats want to go into my hair?
No, they do not want to go in your hair. Usually, what happens is when we're outside walking around, especially in the summertime, we stir up the bugs, and it seems like we always have this little nest of gnats roaming around our head. Well, to the bats, that's food. And so they come down and they go after the food. Of course, people think they're attacking them, but they're really not. They're just going after the bugs.
Yeah, they just want the gnats that are
right.
surrounding our head. Well, we'll continue talking about bats, bat habits, bat habitat, bat threats, and we're welcoming your questions and your stories at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is with the group Bat Conservation of Wisconsin. We're talking about why bats are so important and worth worrying about. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. The deadly bat disease known as white nose syndrome was discovered last month in bats in an abandoned mine in Grant County in southwestern Wisconsin. The news was announced by the DNR last week. A few hours after the DNR's announcement, the Michigan DNR also said white nose syndrome was discovered in three counties in Michigan, including a county in the Upper Peninsula that borders Florence County in northern Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:37 on this Thursday, April 17th. We are talking about all things bats with our guest from the group Bat Conservation of Wisconsin. We're talking about why bats are so important and worth worrying about and what we can do to help and where we can see bats and what bats are all about. And we're welcoming your questions. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We welcome your bat-related questions and your bat stories. Let me welcome back our guest, Ken Bowman, co-founder of Bat Conservation of Wisconsin, a group that creates educational programs and conducts educational programs and provides rescue and rehabilitation to Wisconsin bats. I wanted to ask you, Ken, how did you become so involved with bats?
Well, back in the early 80s, there seemed to be a big push for save the wolves, save the baby seals, and everybody was going in that direction. And I'm a person that tends to go the opposite direction, and nobody wanted to save the bats, so that's where I went.
And you weren't afraid of them? You knew that they were helpful little critters?
Well, no. At that time, I just knew about them. I had never handled them. So my wife and I took some classes and did some field trips with bat groups and got to learn how to handle them. And I found out that most of them they're not dangerous. They're not ferocious. They don't want to have anything to do with people. And when we do bat programs, we bring live bats so people can see them up close and in a controlled situation. And I would say majority think bats are cute once they see them. I mean, you take a small bat and it's flying around your house at 12 o'clock midnight, you know, it tends to be scary, but really not.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can respond to one of our listeners who posted on Facebook, filthy, rabies-ridden, winged rats. That's what I call them when one manages to find its way into the house.
Yeah, that's the historical TV presentation of all bats. Most of the bats you see on TV, they're the giant fruit bats, which we don't have any in the United States, but they use them for scare tactics.
Oh, but those giant fruit bats, they eat fruit.
Right. No, that's right. And there's a lot of news articles, paper articles, magazine articles. They've talked about insect-eating bats, but the picture they have is one, it's either the vampire bat or they use the flying foxes, the large bats, which just makes those myths grow and grow and continue.
Well, that vampire bat, that doesn't help situations. That's not found around here in Wisconsin, but that's probably where a lot of the negative stereotypes and myths came from, isn't it? That the bats want to bite us in the neck and suck our blood.
Right, and vampire bat is, there's three vampire bats in the world. They all live in Mexico and Latin America, and only one of them drinks blood from mammals. They don't care for people. They will drink blood from people, but they like the cattle and the larger mammals. And they don't suck either. They make a little cut and they just, the blood drips and they just lick it up.
Oh, God. They don't prefer people though.
No, they don't. But the problem with vampire bats in Central and South America is many of the people don't have screens on their windows.
Yeah.
And so the bats get in just like other animals would.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Chris in Hammond with us. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead with your question or story.
If I were to build up a bat in my yard, would that significantly reduce the amount of mosquitoes I have on my 4 acres?
Yes.
You heard that. Okay,
no, yeah.
Good.
If you build a bat house, it will help reduce the mosquitoes. Now, nature doesn't work in the way that if you had 4 bat houses on your 4 acres and they were full of bats, that you're not going to have any mosquitoes because nature doesn't work that way. But you'll have a lot fewer mosquitoes and you'll be able to enjoy the outside much more. Now, there's a state park in Wisconsin,
Yellowstone
Lake,
yeah.
State Park. A gentleman, Kent Borcherding, back in starting in 1990, started building bat houses and putting them up in that park. And he's got about 4,000 to 5,000 little browns that live in those houses. And I've been down there in August when it's hot, muggy, 8 o'clock at night, and I don't have any mosquitoes that bite me. And it's amazing that, it does work if you can put up bat houses and then wait for a while for the bat populations to grow.
Yeah, that was I was at that park, and that is very neat to see that they have a lot of those bat houses there. So that's one example of how the state of Wisconsin apparently is trying to help bats.
Right. I wish more parks would do that.
Brooke on Facebook asks, please ask Ken about bat house placement. What are the best locations? Are there predators that eat Wisconsin bats?
Yeah. Bat house locations, you need to have them in the sun 6 to 8 hours of day, up a minimum of 10 feet. On buildings tend to be the best places because the building will help generate heat also, but most people don't like that. So you put it up on a pole, a 5 by 6 inch pole, about 10 feet, and that'll work. And the second question was,
are there any predators that eat bats?
Hawks and owls tend to be the natural predators in the state of Wisconsin, besides people, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I suppose those owls are out at night too, aren't they?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the hawks get them in the early evening, the bats first come out. And I mean, they don't take that many, but, it's like most wild animals, each one has a predator of some kind.
Now, and I'm back to the bat house placement. Yep. I heard the pole and near the house and all. So any backyard, if I just plop one in my backyard, is there anything else I can do to attract the bat to it?
No. Mm-hmm. Have a good bat house, painted a dark color here in Wisconsin. And if you're close to a body of water, that tends to help because bats drink on the fly. They don't land and drink. So if you're closer to water, you'll have a better chance. But beyond that, you just put it up and you just hope they find it.
What else is out there that is not so good for bats right now? What threats do they face besides white nose syndrome?
Well, I think some of the mines and caves that probably more on private property nowadays, but that people go in and they have parties and things. We should just stay out of the mines and caves and let the bats do what they do.
Well, I recall going up to Iron Mountain. In fact, that's Dickinson County, which is the county that borders Florence County in northern Wisconsin, where the Michigan DNR now, I'm assuming it's that that abandoned iron mine in Iron Mountain where
right.
they found the white nose syndrome. We went there one night, and it was and you could see the bats leaving to go, I guess, go hunting for the evening.
Yes.
Can you still do that?
Well, as far as I know, you can now. We don't have anything like that here in Wisconsin, unfortunately.
Well, is there a way for in Wisconsin for us to see bats without tromping around in their caves?
Sure. Yellowstone Lake State Park is one. Peninsula State Park has some bat houses on one of their buildings next to the lake. And even Devil's Lake on their pavilion, they have like 7 or 8 bat houses on the pavilion that are full of little browns. So those are the best places. Again, we don't have... Bats don't live in caves and mines in the summertime, so we can't see them come out.
Okay, so but in Iron, when I saw that in Iron Mountain, maybe that was it wasn't in the wintertime, but
it was probably in the fall or spring.
Okay,
yes,
yeah, very neat though. Let's see what other questions our listeners have. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're essentially doing a Bats 101 class today with our guest, Ken Bowman, co-founder of Bat Conservation of Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 11 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, April 17th. We are talking with Ken Bowman, co-founder of Bat Conservation of Wisconsin, about Wisconsin bats, and we're welcoming your thoughts and questions. Barb in La Crosse is with us next. Hello, Barb.
Hi, thank you. I love bats. I'm a big bat fan, and I wanted to know, when do they mate? How long are they pregnant? How many babies? How long do they nurse? And what are baby bats called?
Okay. Baby bats are called pups.
Aw.
The bats of Wisconsin are interesting because the females and the males mate in the fall before they go into hibernation. The female has the ability to keep the sperm viable throughout hibernation. She comes out in the springtime, fattens up, and then she ovulates. The gestation period is 6 weeks. The babies are nursed for 6 weeks, and then they are full grown.
Oh, boy.
So it's a quick cycle because then they turn around and they have to get fat real quick so they can go into hibernation again.
And do the babies after 6 weeks just go somewhere else, or do they hang with mom and dad for a while or not?
Well, dads aren't around at all.
Of course.
During this part.
Just kidding.
But they'll stick around with the colony usually until they go into hibernation. Now, in the fall is when we have our greatest numbers of bats getting into homes. And I think that's due to the babies that are, we kind of consider them, they're full grown, but they're kind of like teenagers now, and they're out exploring the world, and they get into places that they shouldn't get into, and that's why we have so many calls in September.
I don't want to be sad about this, but this was many, many years ago. I saw an itty-bitty brown bat. He was hooked in a shutter on my house, so, on a side window. Right. And I just got caught or something. I'm not sure what happened there, but it was I wasn't sure if that was a baby bat or if that was a little brown bat. I mean, how big are they?
Well, little browns, their body size is smaller than the size of a walnut.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, most if they're flying, they're full grown.
Okay.
And a lot of people think they're babies because they're so small. Well, all the bats we have in Wisconsin, except for one, there are really small bats. The little browns has a wingspan of 10 inches, the big brown a wingspan of 12, but their body size is really small.
And what's the biggest bat?
The hoary bat that we have weighs just over 1 ounce, and then it has a wingspan of 16 inches. But most people never see the bats that migrate south because they don't live in groups and they don't get in our buildings. They live in trees and bushes and things like that.
Yeah. Let's take another call from Catherine in Barneveld. Hello, Catherine.
Good morning. My question has to do with I'd heard somewhere along the way that back in the East Coast where the white nose syndrome first started, that the bat populations were actually starting to recover because they were building up a tolerance to the disease. Can you address that? And I'll have to hang up. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
No, that's what I've heard, too, that there are some of the caves out there that some bats are coming back, not in large numbers, but bats seem to be coming back, and they are assuming that these bats have built up an immunity. And I think, again, I'm not a scientist, but I think that's eventually what's going to have to happen. It's going to run its course throughout the United States, and the bats that survive will create an immunity and then slowly build the populations back up if that's possible.
I hope so. Let's go to Jeanette in Green Bay. Hi, Jeanette.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My bat story is this. We were given a bat house quite a few years ago, and we put it up on our cottage on Sturgeon Bay, never thinking that we'd have any success. We have been extremely successful. So we put the bat house on the corner of the cottage. It faces east, and it's kind of out of the way. It's at the end of the deck where, we don't really go. Tremendously successful. So then when that was full, then they went under the shutters. And then they went under the next shutter. Well, they worked their way down to the patio door. So now they're a little too close to where we're going in and out. So in fall, we took the shutters off. After we were pretty sure they were after they were gone. So now we're feeling bad because we're thinking they're going to come back pretty soon, and their home is gone. I mean, we left the bat house up. If we took those shutters and just moved them around the corner, not that we have windows, but we just put them up on the side of the cottage. No one sees that anyway. It's south, so it should be warm. Do you think they'd go around the corner?
Oh, yes, I think they would. Now, I would suggest putting up more bat houses.
Mm.
The problem with shutters, and Joy brought this up a few minutes ago, is bats tend to get caught in them, especially with the siding. They slip on the siding, and then their wing gets caught between the shutter and the house, and then they end up dying. And we had shutters on our house, and we had a bat do that, so I took all the shutters off. I would just put up additional bat houses.
Yeah. All right.
That would at least look more appropriate than having shutters where there's no windows all around in the house. But they have been a great learning experience, and of course since then I've listened to you, and we watch them go in and out at night, and the grandkids, watch them, and the only thing is keep the patio door closed. And you're right. We don't have any problems with mosquitoes sitting out at night.
Well, great. Yeah. And sometimes they might fly into the patio if you don't do that, Jeanette?
Well, they haven't.
Mm-hmm.
But, I would rather not have a problem. So, we do that. And the other thing is it drives the cat nuts.
Yeah, you don't want that. What should you do if you see an injured bat, Ken?
Well, the best thing to do is, one, you don't pick it up with bare hands. If you can, find a cardboard box and maybe a small shovel or something and just gently scoop the bat into the box and then seal the bat up and then get a hold of a licensed rehabber. But just don't touch it. And don't just leave it there, because there may be people that come along that don't understand about bats, or maybe kids that are interested. And you don't want someone to try and pick it up and then get bit.
So we have a lot of questions from people who want to know how to get bats out of their home humanely, and what should people do if they have bats in unwanted locations?
Okay. In the summertime, the best thing to do is confine the bat that's flying around into one room, open up a door or window, and normally they will find their way out, because they want out just as much as you want them out. Sometimes people will take a sheet and throw the sheet up into the air, and that'll bring the bat down to the ground, and then you can take the sheet outside and shake it. If you get bats into your attic, that's when I said earlier, call somebody that does bat exclusions, because what they do is they put up a little device we call a one-way door, and allows the bats to get out but not to get back in. The issue with that is you can't do it between June 1st and August 15th. It's against the law. And that's because during that period of time is when the babies are present. And if you put up a bat excluder during that time, the females will go out at night and eat, but they can't get back in, and the babies are trapped inside, and they'll die. And like most animals and most people, if you're trapped somewhere, you're going to try and find your way out. And 9 times out of 10, they find their way into the living space, which causes more problems.
Yeah. All right. Well, we only have about a minute or so to go. Are you optimistic that Wisconsin can continue to be a good place for bats?
Oh, I am. I'm optimistic about the bats are going to recover, as long as people use common sense, they're not afraid of them, you know, respect what they are and what they do, and know that they're very beneficial for us and for nature in general. And don't panic. Just enjoy the bats. They are a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah. Have any educational programs coming up anytime soon?
We have a couple. Usually people start calling us in May for the summer programs, but we have one at Blue Mountain State Park, and we'll have one up in Mirror Lake for sure.
Yeah. Well, we will put, and I think we do have your website on our Facebook page. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you, Joy.
Ken Bowman, co-founder of Bat Conservation of Wisconsin, a group that puts on educational programs and provides rescue and rehabilitation to Wisconsin bats. Thanks to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Robin Cherry for on-air production. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. We're going to be talking to secede or not to secede coming up in our next hour. And we'll be talking about the politics of higher education after 8 o'clock. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.